Welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast, your number one opinion source for all things entertainment. Join host Marco Mazzola as he sounds off on the latest movies, TV, music, gaming, comic books, and more. Now, here's the man of the hour, Marco Mazzola.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the Entertainment Rants Podcast. I am, as always, your host, Marco Mazzola, and I am joined tonight by my wife, Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hi.
How is everybody doing tonight?
Everybody. Who else is here? It's you and me.
You and me and everybody else listening, right?
Oh, sure. There okay.
So it is February 2nd, 2022. It is Groundhog's Day.
Yes, it is.
So
not Groundhogs.
Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day. We're married, so that took all of 30 seconds to correct me. And what are we reviewing tonight?
Groundhog Day.
With Bill Murray and Andy McDowell.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of known actors. And directed by Harold Ramis.
Yep.
Yeah, of Ghostbusters fame. So this was one of their last movies, I believe, before they had their sort of big riff and they kind of broke apart for a while. They had a sort of a big outing and just kind of luckily came to some kind of a terms before he passed away.
Well, I'm glad they did.
Yeah, they kind of patched up a little bit. They had a big to-do after this movie. Very sad. They were, you know, not really speaking terms for many years after this. So, yeah, it was pretty sad. Mostly publicly known, you know, people knew about this. And then, like I said, before he passed away, they reached out to each other.
I want to say
Bill did, but I don't know for sure, so I'm not going to put that on them.
I'm glad you're not revealing secret information.
Not secret information here. No, definitely not. All right, so let's just give a little tale of the tape, if you will, a little rundown on the movie. It came out in 93.
Really?
Yep.
I thought it came out before then.
I know. I thought so too, actually. I thought it was an 80s movie.
Me too.
It's not. It's a 90s movie, 93, so the year before I graduated high school. Stars again, Bill Murray.
That was my freshman year of high school.
Freshman year, there you go. Andy McDowell, Chris Elliott, who played Larry. Stephen Tobolowsky, who played Needlehead Ned, or whatever.
Needlenose Ned.
Brian Doyle Murray, so Bill Murray's brother, plays Buster, the head groundhog guy. And just a bunch of other, you know, Rick Overton, Rick Dukeman, who passed away in 2015. He played Gus, you know, and just a good slew of great actors and people in here. Rounded out the cast, but obviously centered mostly on the main three. Bill Murray, obviously Andy McDowell, and Chris Elliott were the main characters in the movie. So let's give a little tale of the movie itself, just run down for those who may have never, who've been under a rock for the last, you know, 30 years, haven't seen this movie. Bill Murray plays a weatherman.
Phil Connors
from Pennsylvania.
Pittsburgh,
and he's going down to Punxsutawney.
Mm-hmm.
To do a report on the groundhog for Groundhog's Day. And he's an extremely self-absorbed, narcissist, basically, just all about himself. Doesn't care about anybody else. Doesn't really want to be doing this report. He wants to be big time, right? He's looking for network.
Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a network interested.
Yes, the home shopping network, according to Chris Elliott, to Larry. I thought it was funny. And so Andy McDowell plays Rita, his new producer. For his show and for his segment of the news, so she helps run, you know, that's to all the segments and things that he does. So they head down to Punxsutawney, and he does a report, and he mistakenly reports that the big blizzard is not going to hit them, right? And it ends up hitting them. They get stuck there in Punxsutawney. The problem is something happens, and we don't really ever find out. We don't know why it happens. We don't really understand how it happens, right? It's almost like magic, right? He keeps reliving the day over and over and over again until essentially he gets it right and learns how not to be a dick, how not to be a self-absorbed prick, and to become a good person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the movie, you know, that's the core of the movie, is watching him repeat this day over and over and over and making many attempts to get it right.
And it takes him a long time.
So we looked it up, right? I looked it up last night after we rewatched the movie. I don't know how many times I've watched the movie, but we looked it up, and there's a few different conflicting ideas. Hal Ramis, in the commentary track on it, has narrowed it down to, he said 10 years, essentially just about 10 years worth of day over and over again.
Wow.
Yes. So, you know what I mean? So that's a long time. That is a long time to be repeating the same exact day.
Took him a long time to learn to be nice.
That's right. Exactly. That's basically what it turns out to be. 10 years of learning how to be nice, right? And the first draft of the script actually had it at 10,000 years.
Oh my God.
Right. So he doesn't age, nothing, no consequences. He kills himself so many times throughout the movie, and just wakes up at 6 o'clock the next morning.
Ready to do that.
Sonny and Cher song, right? Playing on the
I've got you, babe. Yeah,
right on the flips the little old fashioned at the clock where like the flipping numbers, you know, comes down. And
which was not old fashioned in 1993, by the way.
For now, somebody who's never seen this before goes to watch it. They might not exactly understand what that looks like. It's funny to watch, you know, older movies with technology, and not that a clock is technology, but to see how things were made and done, you know, even 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
It is, though, because think about that. You know, that's definitely technology.
It is. I was making a Superman reference tonight at the dojo for whatever reason. I'm like, all right, I need my phone booth. And you can see half the teens are looking at me like, what the hell's a phone booth?
Oh my God. You know what I mean? Nobody knows what the hell that is anymore. These children.
Right. Exactly. So basically, we don't ever find out really how this comes about. What is the sort of force that is driving it to make this magic, if you will, happen to him and keep repeating the same day over and over again? Right. We just know we have to really understand why almost from the get go. Why it's happening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's pretty clear and evident why he's doing it. He's got to be a nicer person. So he goes through a lot of different variables, right? A lot of different scenarios, a lot of different, he starts to be good. He tries to figure it out. Then he's just like, screw it. And, you know, so talk to me about some of your favorite parts that you liked and what, you know, what draws you to this movie. It's a rewatchable movie, right?
It's a rewatchable movie. I was actually thinking I wanted to watch it again tonight.
Right.
No, I like it. I mean, first of all, I like Bill Murray. I think he's really funny. I think he's really talented comedically. But I think in some ways it can remind me of therapy a little bit. And that sometimes it just feels like you have the same session week after week, day after day, where you're telling people the same thing.
Yeah.
And nothing's changing. And they come back to you the next week and say, but it's all the same. And you say, well, did you do A, B, C, D? And they say, no. And you say, okay, so what's going on? And that's not always how it goes, but I think things go in phases. And I felt like recently I've had a couple of cases like that. Yeah. So I think it's somehow a little bit therapeutic.
Sure.
But I do like the idea that he learns to be good, right? Yeah. That he reforms himself. And that he's actually so far gone that the universe takes it upon itself to say, like, hey, dude.
To help course
correct we've got to do something here.
Yes.
Got to do something about you.
Yeah, it absolutely does.
My favorite part in the whole movie is when he steals the truck with the with Punxsutawney Phil, when he steals Phil and the truck, and he's going off like Dukes of Hazzard style.
In the quarry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's my favorite part.
The groundhog's on the wheel, and he's letting it drive, essentially.
Yeah.
He's like, don't drive angry. Look to your left. Check your mirrors. He's talking to it like it's a real person.
Oh, my God, it's hysterical.
And they jump. It launches out the quick because they corner him in the quarry, so he can't get back out again. And he's figuring that's just one of his sort of last-ditch attempts to, like, get out of this loop. Right, yeah. He has no idea how to get out of this movie. He really quite hasn't figured it out yet. He's like, he's just given up all hope. He's thrown himself off a building. He's stepped in front of a bus. He's electrocuted, which I found was funny. He electrocutes himself with a toaster. And he actually pushes the toaster down with the bread still in it and then dumps it in the tub.
Because that makes a difference.
It makes a difference. Even though he plugged it in, it was that some of the little details are hysterical. But so he launches the truck off the quarry. It flips over and lands, you know, topside on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Larry, Chris Elliott, and Andy are looking with the camera because they're, you know, he's a news. Mm-hmm. Larry is the video guy. He's the camera guy.
Videographer, yeah.
He's the cameraman. And he looks at Andy McDonald Reed and he's like, you can be okay. And then the truck explodes, like massive ball of flame. He's like, well, no, probably not now. And I use that quote. There's so many quotes from this movie. And I use all the time because it is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I use that one a lot amongst other ones.
I do. I love that part. I actually was, I couldn't remember if that was in this movie or if it was in What About Bob?
Right.
And which is also another very hysterical therapist heavy movie.
Sure. Richard Dreyfuss plays a therapist. He plays his therapist.
It's very funny, but that's another one. But when I saw it, I was like, oh, yes, I remembered right. I thought I remembered him letting the groundhog drive, but I haven't seen it for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And it just, I don't know, it just struck me last night. I wanted to watch it.
It's definitely one of those movies, like, I'll watch anytime.
Mm-hmm.
You say, oh, let's watch Groundhog. Okay, I'll watch Groundhog Day. If it's on TV, no matter what part it's on, I'll start watching it from where it is. Sometimes if it's on, like, regular TV, and his commercials, I'd like to go and watch it. You know what I mean? Like I had it on DVD and whatever. I throw that in.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have to watch the commercials. Because a lot of times, you know, the TV, like they edit out good parts and things like that. So I like to watch it and it's, you know, real. So I'll start over again because mm-hmm. it is that funny from beginning to end. You know, I guess, I don't know. I have so many favorite parts, you know, Needle Nose Ned, Ryerson, it comes up to him and he's just like a leech, right? He's obviously now an insurance salesman. He knew him from when they were in. So that was kind of weird. Like, how do they know each other? We know how they know each other from school, but did he go there? Like, where was he from originally? How do they run into each other there?
Well, Ned is clearly a traveling insurance salesman.
Right. What are the odds he runs into this guy that he knows?
It just, I mean, and right obviously there. Ned knows him because he's on the news.
Right.
Right. So.
So, yeah. So they run into each other and that interaction and how it develops over time where he's like just trying, you know, he's trying to get away from him every chance he can to eventually he buys all the insurance. He like mm-hmm. leans into it. Right. But the one time he's just like, he recognizes like Ned and just hauls off and punches him
right in the face. Yeah.
One shot just knocks him out. He just had it. He just knocks him out. That was one of my favorite parts. The song, it gets stuck in your head. That he wakes up to every morning and you hear it all the time, right? I got you, babe, constantly. He's tucked under the covers and it's him opening his eyes and click, the clock goes to 6 and the song starts playing. And then the DJs are talking.
Yep.
And you know, so the second day when it's the same day again, he wakes up, he's like, and he hears them saying the stuff they said yesterday. He's mm-hmm. like, great boys, you're playing the yesterday's tape. And that's, and you hear them say Chap Lips. So that's the name we're calling this episode, Chap Lips. And that's why. If anybody wants to know why we're calling this episode Chap Lips, that's why. It's in what they say. Because it's cold out there, but it's cold out there mm-hmm. every day.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really good. Do you have any favorite quotes or lines from the movie?
I don't know if I have any favorite lines. Another favorite part of mine, and I had forgotten this part, is when he's trying to help the homeless guy
mm-hmm.
And he's feeding him and he's, you know, he took him to the emergency room and he's just really like, that's the part yeah. where he just kind of develops. Right. And I think the Anzie McDowell part where he's trying to like get with her grows on me
mm-hmm.
That, you know, in the beginning, I really hate it. And I hate it. And it's supposed to grow on you because he's yeah. such a creep. And he's purposely reliving the day, remembering
parts, like, right? No parts, white chocolate. And-
yeah. Parts and what he's supposed to say, just basically like to get in her pants. And
first he does it to Nancy.
Yeah.
Right? First he does it to Nancy, who pretends to have known mm-hmm. her from 12th grade English class.
Or something, yeah.
Right. Just kind of remembers her and then knows mm-hmm. he's going to see her the next day and then
yeah.
gets with her. And then like another episode, he's with somebody else. Right after he had stolen money from the money truck
from the
Brinks truck,
yeah,
and he goes, he buys like the Rolls Royce.
Mm-hmm.
Must pay cash. Must have been a lot of money in that bag, and he buys the Rolls Royce and dressed up like Clint Eastwood, and it's with somebody else. And she walks by, but she kind of looks at him weird. He's like, "Oh, old girlfriend," but they don't know each other.
Yeah, no,
that didn't happen during that version.
Exactly. So I think, but then, you know, the Andy McDowell part definitely grows on me. Like, it's like he can't help but be a better person.
Yeah.
And then he decides, I also like when he decides he's going to learn the piano.
Yes.
And he's going there and he's just paying and, right. you know, getting piano lessons.
Kicks the other girl out. He has a piano player. He gives her so much money.
Yeah. I have $1,000. Yeah. I'd like to start right now. I have $1,000.
He kicks the girl. She kicks the girl out that was there taking a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
How many times did that happen? So that's one of the reasons people like, they kind of figured out how long he must have been doing this. Like, how long does it take to master the piano?
Mm-hmm.
Or how long does it take? Because he learns how to ice sculpt.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
To learn how to ice sculpt to master that. And he learns how to speak French, right? Like, he's had to speak mm-hmm. reading French poetry, and he's speaking French. So there's, like, a lot of things he learns. The movie, obviously, it's a comedy. But it's a lot of dark parts to it.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, the time when he's killing himself over and over again, like that final one where he jumps off the church tower, basically.
Yeah.
Like, that's really, and it's like, and it's played the music, and it's very slow, like the swan dive
yeah.
off the thing.
It's really awful.
It's pretty dark. Like, and it was kind of meant to be that way. It wasn't quite dark, like a Cable Guy dark comedy, but it was.
No, well, there is something like to a certain point of like, you know, I think it's a natural point that you would get to, right? Of like, the hell am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, how did I end up here? And I don't know how to stop it. So what am I going to do?
Yeah. I think that's it, right? I think they understand, the writers understood that you can't just make this a comedy. at some point you have to put in some kind of motivation, some kind of a thread of what would a person really go through reliving 10 years of the same day, or however long they meant it to be.
And what a day.
Yeah, and what a day. It definitely what a day. The parts that keep changing that are fun to watch, right, how he attacks different things, like the news. When he goes to do the report on, you know, on Phil, like how he keeps, you know, one time he's just like phoning. He's like, this is bullshit. I've done this over again. I don't care. I'll be in the diner. To then like the time where he has like everybody around him because he's like, he's basically giving the Gettysburg Address. Like he's giving this so heartfelt speech. Everybody's got like a tear in their eye and everybody's watching him, which is such a great progression to watch how he does that. And then it's kind of like fun to figure out how he gets everything in during the day. Like even on like the good day, like how he figures out, like, he saves the kid from the tree. Like, you never once thanked me this whole time, you little jerk, right? Every time, you know, he saved the ladies with the car, and he pumps up the car because they run a flat.
With the jack, yeah.
He saves, you know, Buster from choking, and he's just doing all these, you know, just kind of going to the town, all these things that he's learned and picked up. So that was interesting to kind of figure out, like, how does he get all that in a day, right? Plus then get Annie McDowell. And that was kind of the strange part. How does he get Annie McDowell to fall in love with him in a day? Even spending 10 years getting to know her, right? He got to know her in 10 years, but she doesn't get to know him. It's a day for her.
Right. But I think the premise is that, and now if I think about it like this, it's completely creepy again. Like he knows her so well because he's had these 10 years. She feels like probably she's known him forever, but then it feels really like, ugh, gross. Because
it's been a day.
I know, and it just feels gross. Like, it feels like he's conning her. It's like the long game.
The 10 years long game.
It's like one of my podcasts.
Yes, that's right. It's a long game. So, you know, that was kind of strange, right? I always found that weird. Like, at the end of the day, she's only known him for a day, and he's completely bamboozled her. But she knew him before, back at the news station, and he was a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
So how did he change that quickly? And she never really figures that out. Because at the end of the day, the last day, because a bunch of times he tells her what he's going through. And, you know, obviously it takes a long time for her to eventually, you know, understand and believe him. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the next day, she doesn't believe him again because it's the same day.
The same day.
Start all over again. You know, when he's in the diner and he's like, all right, the waiter's in 5 seconds, the waiter's going to drop a tray, and the tray drops, and because he's relived it so many times. And then, you know, Larry comes in. He's like, Larry's going to say this. You can't let him take us away, right? So she kind of gets that he's not lying. But then he has to explain, how many times did he have to explain that to her?
So, but it's also like, and it made me think of it like 50 First Dates,
yeah,
you know, right? Which I've never really watched, but you know, that's
fun.
The premise.
Yeah.
Right?
But it's similar. The same day, but similar. Yeah.
Well, not similar. Like she's got brain damage, right?
Yes.
Or something. Yeah, something happens. She had an accident or something.
Accident,
so, you know, it is, but it's the same awful loop for like Adam Sandler's character, but it's different.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel as creepy because they had a relationship prior.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just helping to remember.
You know, I don't know. So that part, now that I think about it, really bothers me. But I mean, overall, I just think it's a good, I just like the fact that he becomes good. Like he gained some, it is, if we're going to continue the therapy metaphor, like it's the greatest part. Like, it's exactly what you want. Your client gets insight.
Right.
And really realizes, like, oh my God, look at all these things I'm doing that are unhealthy and terrible.
Yeah.
And fixes them.
Yes.
Or makes changes that they can live with and are sustainable.
Yes.
Like, so, you know, fix is a relative term because, you know, everybody does what they're able to do. So, and he obviously gained a ton of insight. Of course, he had 10 years to figure it out.
Yes.
So
10 years of the same day doing this, you know,
really over and over
stuff.
And over.
You got to figure out that day over and over again. So, not now. So when, some of the other characters, supporting characters, right? The Rick Dukerman, Rick Overton, who is the drunk guy. Right?
Oh yeah.
Some supporting characters he brings along the way. He ends up, you know, he kills them at one point and they all die. And then they come back or they get arrested and they're back again. So that begs the question. Because he asked a great question. If you had one day, there's no consequences, what would you do?
Mm-hmm.
So what would Amy do if she had one day, no consequences, you could do anything you wanted?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't know. I'd probably travel somewhere. Like every day, I'd probably go somewhere different. And there's no consequences because there's no money, so.
No, I know that, but it takes time to get places. You spend most of that day traveling.
Well, maybe yes and maybe no. It just depends.
Yeah.
It just depends.
I mean, you know.
You know, you find out where the local, you know, you find out after a certain point, you know where things are going and yeah. you know where you have to get to. So.
Sure. But I mean, like, you know. You think like even overseas traveling, right? Like a flight to Italy is like 6 to 8 hours. Like this half the day gone. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, travel, but so what if I take it, then I, yeah, but if I take it, then I get there yeah. and I just, you know, do my thing for a few hours and then I'm just going to wake up back in Punxsutawney anyways. So yeah. it doesn't matter. Yeah. Like I, you know, it's, that's just what's going to happen. Okay, so
you say travel. All right. I like that. I like that.
What would you do?
What would I do? If, well, I guess it depends if it's one day and that's it, or if it's one day to do over and over again. Mm. That's like two separate questions, right? Because that was kind of the point. Like, which question did he ask? If you have one day and you're going to wake up tomorrow and nothing matters, it's the same day over, I'm going to do that same day over again. I'd probably do a lot of what he did, right? Learn how to do things and become really good at stuff that I've always wanted to learn how to do that I just right now don't have time to do. That makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
Makes right. a lot of sense. Learn different styles of martial arts, do a lot of, you know, learn how to, you know, artwork, do that better than I do now, you know, things like that. Just get better at stuff that I've always wanted to be good at, you know? I think that's probably one of the things I would do.
I think that's a really good way to do it.
I mean, it's like self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not him. I'm not, you know, a narcissist. I'm not, you know, a douche like he is. But like...
No, you are not.
You know what I mean? So I think just it would just be other kinds of self-improvement.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So I think that would be probably where I would go with it.
I think that's really cool.
Yeah, it was fun. I think that'd be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, but definitely wouldn't want to last 10 years. No, it's 10 just like, all right, I need out of this loop. You know, this loop, because that would be crazy, especially mm-hmm. if there's no sort of foreseeable way out. If that, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, you know, if because like I said, for him there was a reason. There was a reason he was going through this loop, and there's a clear cut way of how he's going to get out of this loop,
mm-hmm.
and he does, and eventually, obviously, and you know, he puts everything right and gets out, which was fun to see how yeah. he finally gets up and she's still there,
mm-hmm.
and his excitement. He jumps out of bed, and that was really fun. I like that. All right, some of the other, what are some of the other funny moments for you? Because there's so many in this moment in this movie. I love, you know, the guy in the hallway. You know, buongiorno, senor. He grabs him and kisses uh-huh. him one day. Like every day is different.
Mm-hmm.
That was, he's, you know, you want to see the groundhog? That guy was fun for me. I liked him.
I like Brian Doyle Murray's character. I like his, you know, the seer of seers, the prognosticator of prognosticators. Yeah. I like the moments you already mentioned, but when he goes and buys the Rolls Royce mm-hmm. and he pulls up at the movie theater, I think that's really funny. I do like the sequence where he's striking out with Andy McDowell the whole time and she's just slapping him, just and, slapping him and slapping him and slapping him. It's funny.
Yeah. It's different places, it's different ways, different mm-hmm. times.
Yeah. That I find that very funny.
Yeah.
I think that's, I like with Brian Doyle Murray's character too. Is he, not Brian Doyle Murray, who am I thinking of? Chris Elliott.
Yeah.
As they, you know, watching him sort of do the same thing over and over again.
Yes.
I find like the ending for him when he's with that woman and they're
with
at the
Nancy.
Party.
With Nancy.
He's
at the party.
With Nancy, that's right.
And
oh, yeah.
And she kind of doesn't want anything to do with him.
Yeah.
And he's just kind of like hanging on her. She kind of pushes his arm off. And then they auction off the guys. And so Phil goes to Andy McDowell. Like, Rita buys Phil.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, so Chris Elliott, Larry jumps up on stage and nobody wants anything to do with him. And the old lady buys him for 25 cents. And he's just like, ah.
That's always the kind of guy he plays. Like,
yes.
It's always the kind yeah. of like, that's his role.
Yeah, he's the awkward, you know, kind of.
There's something about Mary, right? Yeah. That's like the ultimate one for
yes.
him, of and, him in that
yeah.
role.
Yeah, absolutely. That's Chris Elliott. All right. What else do we want to talk about for this movie? It's just a fun.
It is. It's a fun movie. And it's, you know, for a day where, you know, I mean, what really is Groundhog Day? You know, who knows? It is what it is. Allegedly, the Groundhog.
Apparently for us, we have 6 more weeks of winter.
I know, but how does he not see a shadow with all the cameras and television crews and everything there? Like, I feel like it's.
Nah, I feel like it's a bunch of hokum. I feel like if he, I feel like absolutely. They say the same thing whether he sees the shadow or not.
No, I think it's, you know.
6 more weeks of winter.
I think it's just people looking for something, you know, to break up the doldrums, right?
Yeah.
In winter.
Yeah.
And that's okay. Like, there's nothing, it makes it a little bit fun. And I think it's a funny way, but you know, I think Groundhog Day is this thing of like, where we talk about like, you know, we repeat the same thing over and over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, it's definitely worked its way into the culture.
Yeah, it absolutely is. In fact, I love the episode of The Office when they're trying to plan a day to deal with Meredith's alcoholism. And they're like, how about February 2nd? He's like, it's Groundhog Day. And he's like, Michael, he goes, I celebrate privately. He celebrates Groundhog Day privately.
I don't know why you want to make it plural.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah, just one.
Well, I know, but there's a lot of groundhogs out there.
There's a dead one. Did you see that? One of them died. Not Punxsutawney Phil, but another one.
No,
one
I didn't
from
see
New Jersey.
That. Oh, really?
He died.
Jersey Pete. What's his name?
I don't know. His name isn't Jersey Pete. It's something with an M.
Oh.
Milbray, not Milbray.
Jersey Mike.
Jersey. No, it's not Jersey Mike. But I'm telling you,
I didn't know there was another one.
It died. And one of my friends on Facebook was like, sad. How 2022 is that? The groundhog is dead.
The groundhog died. I didn't know. Honestly, I didn't know there was another one.
Well, there's multiple. Apparently, there's multiple. Like, Punxsutawney Phil is the official one. So, yes, I suppose. You are correct.
Yes. It's his day, so I'm pluralizing it.
It belongs to him.
It belongs to him. It's a possessive S.
It's a possessive S, apostrophe S.
There you go.
Not.
It's not in the title.
Not the multiple.
Right at it, but, you know.
No, not the multiple groundhogs.
No. It's his day.
The day that belongs to the groundhog.
It's little Phil's day.
Yes.
That's all.
Just like
not bad for quadruped.
That is a good line.
Yeah.
Just like Valentine's Day, right? It belongs to the Valentines.
That's right. To the family.
Mm-hmm.
Belongs to the family of Valentines. Yes. Yeah. Interesting time, I thought, with the playing on time and how they made you feel the extension of time throughout this movie. You know what I mean? How long it seems to be drawing out for him, right? And you start feeling for him, even though he is kind of a, you know, douche nozzle. Mm-hmm. Like, you really start...
A douche nozzle.
Yeah. You really start feeling for him. Like, this is really going on for a long time. You can feel his angst. Not just the parts where he's trying to commit suicide, but, like, the struggles he goes through and the times where he is trying to get it right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the old guy dies and, you know what I mean? He feels that. You feel that for him when he's outside, you know, on the ground with the guy, you know. Like, you definitely, they did, it was quite magical for a comedy, you know what I mean, to make you feel so much without just, you know, you're not just laughing the whole time. I mean, you were laughing the whole time, but.
Mm-hmm. But, and you go into it when you haven't seen it, thinking of it as a comedy, right? Because that's what Bill Murray does. And it's actually more, I don't want to say more depth, because I think he can do things with more depth. Like, I feel like Scrooge is another one of my favorite roles that he has. And I feel like there's a lot of depth there, but, you know, it's. It is. I mean, it's more than you expect it to be.
Yes.
And that's what's nice about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I know, it's just tough. I there's so many parts to it. You know, I could sit here for the next hour just like, you know, talk about little, you know, this line and that line and, you know, all this, you know, when the tray falls and it would just put that tray anywhere there, pal. Rickard Ackerman shouts out and you keep hearing that over and over again. And when he finally figures it out and he talks to Rita and she's like, I figured out I'm a god. She's like, you're a god. Well, I'm not the god, but I am a god.
Yes, that's like, hysterical.
You can take it from me. You're not God. it's just one after the other.
I love that scene. My favorite part in that scene is that he's ordered literally everything.
And every bad, I mean, it's a diner, so it's 90% bad in the diner. But like,
literally everything.
Every pastry, pancakes, everything you could possibly, every calorically high, really diabetes-inducing, you know, food you could have. And he's got it all on the table. And I love the fact he's got the cigarette. So maybe we talked about that. Like, remember when you could smoke indoors?
Watching these movies makes me, I'd completely forgotten about that because it's so natural now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been like, I feel like it's been close to 20 years, if it hasn't been 20 years quite yet,
right?
That you can't smoke inside in Massachusetts.
Right. But yeah, so he was smoking in the diner. He had a cigarette while eating.
Well, I mean, it was normal, like, right? Remember, people used to smoke on planes?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And there was the smoking section, but...
In the tube.
In the tube with the recycled air that we were all breathing.
Yeah. That's just
the same worst. As the smoking section in the restaurant.
That's
though.
The worst. But the fact that he has like literally the cigarette in his hand while stuffing food in his mouth, with the cigarette still in his hand, like in the same hand he's putting food in his mouth, the cigarette's hanging off his fingers, like that's just gross.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah, and then he points at the when Larry's sitting there staring. He's like, Larry, stop staring. Those are delicious. He's trying to get him to take some stuff. He's quit staring. Those are delicious. I love that. I don't know why. It's one of those movies that like little lines like that stick and they stick in my brain. We know that. And it just, I find them hysterical. Like, I love those little bits, and I'll sit there quoting the movie. It's one of those movies I quote, if not out loud, but sometimes we watch it together. So I definitely quoted some of it out loud last night. And I try not to do that because it bugs me when people do that. But, like, it's one of those movies, like, you almost can't help yourself. Like Spaceballs. Like, there's certain movies like that, like, just know it inside and out. And this is definitely one of those movies.
Yeah, it is it's a good one. And there's a lot of really good, memorable quotes from it, for sure.
Yeah. Definitely. I'm trying to, like, off the top of my head, I'm just trying to think of some other ones. So how many times do you think we see him, like, attempt to get with Rita and it didn't work? What would you say? In the movie, like, we didn't see them all, right? It's 10 years worth. We didn't watch 10 years.
Oh, I think it's got to be at least a few years worth.
Yeah.
Right. I would say at least 5 or 6 years worth.
Because there's a difference sometimes where he kind of wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't bothering. He was just kind of doing other things. Mm-hmm. Right. He wasn't really focused on that. So that was interesting how, like, his focus shifts to different things throughout the movie.
Well, and as he becomes less one track, I think he becomes more appealing to her.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't have that evolution, I don't think she would have then developed an interest, no matter how many creepy things he did.
Right. Right. I still find at the end of the day, like, how she found him less creepy or not creepy and very enticing, if you will, very, you know, in a course of a day. Like, and it's, you know, for her, it's night and day. Right. The day before, again, major douche nozzle. Now today, like, even in the truck, even like the truck ride over when they're in the van. Right. He was still being an idiot to her. You know, he's like, you do that squirrely thing. Do that thing with your face. Do a squirrel when she's talking about how she likes the, when the groundhog comes out and sees its little shadow. He's like, do that again. He puckers up his lip and tucks his lip underneath. Right. And he's just being an ass to her. You know, he's being a prima donna. So, like, mm-hmm. then, like, immediately the next day, he's like the nicest, well educated, sweetest, you know, knows French poetry. And,
well, maybe, I don't know, dear. I don't know what to tell you.
And that's obviously my issue. We know this from the podcast.
Some women are stupid.
No. It's not that at all. It's my issue of, like,
some men are stupid too, but let's.
This is true. But it's more my issue of, like, trying to put in reason.
Yeah. Why are you trying?
I do that all the time.
Why are you trying to do that?
I do that. I don't know what it is. I watch so many movies, so much TV, and it's like at some point you almost want to ground it. Because it's so crazy, and you gotta like grasp onto some sort of level of.
No, you don't.
I guess not. Like, you just probably shouldn't.
Just enjoy it.
But you know I do. I enjoy the hell out of this movie because I watch it so many times, and I know it inside and out.
I know. But it, like, things like that, I never thought too deeply about, I guess, because I have other things I think deeply about, probably too many things. Yeah. Like, there's probably too much stuff occupying my brain.
Well, is it that, or is it that, like, I watch it so many times? Like,
it could be that.
You know, like, okay, well, I know what's happening, so now I can think about all this other stuff because I don't have to really think about. It's almost like you go to sleep to the movie because I know the movie. The soundtrack plays in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I know it that well inside and out. So I can sit there and ponder this kind of nonsense.
Yeah,
and
I think that's fair. Try to reason
out stuff instead of just, like, I've already gotten almost, I wouldn't say all the enjoyment out of it that I can get out of it, but there isn't necessarily new enjoyment to get out of it because I've seen it. I know the dialogue and the scene so well.
No, but I think every time you look, like, every time you watch something, a movie that you really love or something that you really love, like, you can get new enjoyment out of it by noticing little things.
Yeah, but I feel like I've done that because I've seen it so many times that I know all those, I notice all those little things. So now it's like, all right, what we're doing, which is, let's dissect the movie. Let's dissect the metaphors and these, you know, the symbolisms like we did with Encanto. Like, all right, let's go beyond just like, all right, watch this and that was really funny. And that's got some really funny lines. Okay, let's go into all the therapeutic stuff about this movie, which the therapy scene was still one of my favorite scenes. If we saw the therapist on the couch and the guy's like,
let's meet tomorrow.
Is tomorrow good for you? And he starts slamming puts a pillow in the face, and slam the face. Like, this guy's obviously not listening. Like, can't, there is no tomorrow. There wasn't one today.
I just like that line. How do we know there's going to be a tomorrow? There wasn't one today.
Right? Hello. He's like talking to the guy, and the guy's hanging up on him. Yeah. That, like, then the therapist is just like, let's meet tomorrow. Is that good for you? No.
No, actually, it's not. Have you not been listening?
There is no tomorrow for me. I'm repeating the same day. That was great. Like, that was, I feel like that would happen. Like, that would happen to somebody. You know, not that the therapist. I was a little therapist from a little tiny town.
You're trying to walk on eggshells so I don't get mad. I understand.
No, not at all.
This is not a news flash, but there are a lot of very good therapists, yeah. And there are a lot of not so great therapists.
But that's in every profession. You know, if you take it to the medical profession of any kind, right? There are people that graduate at the top of their class and people graduate at the bottom of their class, but they're still called doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean they're good.
Right. Everybody,
doesn't mean you want them as your doctor.
Exactly.
They skated by.
But also, no, it doesn't mean that they skated by. Sometimes people at the bottom of the class are there for other reasons. But, like, sometimes you don't want the guy at the top of the class either because he has, like, even though he could do the book learning, he can't be a good doctor.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't have any personality or, you know, I mean, you have to, everybody's different.
Yeah.
Like, so I think, you know, I mean, I think that I find therapy tropes very funny.
Yeah.
Obviously, because that's what I do. But, right. You know, I think that that guy was very, like, stereotypical therapist. And when I watch these movies, I sit and I think, like, oh, God, if I'm like that, I'm just... I'm done. I'm going to hang it up.
I don't know, but I don't think you're like that.
No, I can't. I'm too animated. Like, I have to bring my own self in.
Yes.
You know, like, there was a whole, in therapy, there was this whole thought about, like, you had to be tableau blanc, like, just blank.
And, yeah.
You know, be what the client, you have to be like that so the client can use you as a tool to facilitate their change. And I just don't think that's realistic.
Right.
That's the whole thing with, like, you know, old school psychoanalysis, when you see the therapist sitting in back of the couch,
right.
And the patient's laying there so they can't see the therapist, they can't see the reactions. And the therapist is just supposed to sit there and take notes. Like, they're not really supposed to respond, or yes. They're supposed to say things like, and how does that make you feel? And then what? But they're not supposed to offer any practical solutions.
Right. You're supposed to come to them yourself.
Yeah.
They're almost like guiding you in a way.
You know, they're not, you're guiding they're, you.
But, yeah, their blankness is guiding you, letting you guide yourself
but
to the solutions. If you
but
will.
That's also like psychoanalysis is you're supposed to go 3 or 4 times a week.
Right.
You know, who has time for that?
Oh, good Lord. Not me.
You know, and I think it's interesting, but I don't think that in the age that we live in, but even like, you know, when Freud did it, who was he, you know, who had time to come 3 to 4 times a week?
Yeah.
Really rich ladies in Vienna who had nothing else to do and were completely unfulfilled. So,
right.
You know, it's the same thing now.
Yeah, absolutely. So there you go. A little insight. I like that. That's why I was glad you did this one with me tonight. Get a little insight on that stuff, because this one's definitely, there's a lot of therapy type, you know, there's a lot of psychoanalysis in this movie, right? There's a lot of thread in that one.
Well, there's a lot of thread of, like, yeah. I would say the unconscious and learning and, like, how do you be better?
Yeah. And how do you deal with, you know, just the psychological torment in some way of having to deal with the same day over and over again for, let's say, 10 years. You know, I was talking to people today about, you know, what we're going through right now and what the kids are going through, right? Wearing masks and the, you know, the lack of socialization because they're in their little separate pods and they don't get to see each other. They can't see teachers' reactions and faces and smiles and things like that so much. And, you know, right now there's some places where, you know, their recess is canceled because it's so cold out. So they're not even getting like that outside, you know, no mask time. Yeah. You know what I mean? And what in the long-term ramifications, but yet we see like on the news and you see places and there's venues and celebrities and people that just no mask anywhere. And they're all, you know, banquets and they're like, but yet these poor kids are stuck like, you know, in school. Wearing the mask, yeah, and they're vaccinated now. Like, you know, so many of them are, and things like that. It's like, why is it being put on them? You know, what is it doing? You know, we have, the other people are just like, yeah, it's okay. You know, in other parts of the country, where you know they think it doesn't exist, or you know, and they're like these poor kids, and you know, like, oh, we still got to wear these stupid freaking masks. It's amazing to see how split it is. But anyway, that's a whole nother subject for another podcast. But you know, that's psychology stuff. You know.
I don't know if that's psychology or if that's, well.
It's okay. Say it. It's okay. Are you so hesitant to talk about anything else on the podcast? It's
no, because I just think that, you know, this has been a really difficult 2 years for everybody.
Yeah.
And that for people who want to pretend that it's not real, it's real.
Oh,
it's
no, I know.
It's still happening. And that's not the right tact to take it all, whether you're vaccinated or not, because people are still getting sick.
No, I think the other part is that, you know, this it hasn't been a horrible 2 years for everybody, because there's like a lot of places where people just have almost not ignored it, but like, it's, you know, we're okay, we're fine, we're gonna take our risks and we're gonna be okay, and they're fine.
But then a lot of people there aren't, and a lot of people there in particular have died. And a lot of those people, unfortunately, I mean, it's really, really sad to me. So I think it has been a horrible 2 years for most people.
For most, but not everybody. But that's, you know, but that's kind of the point, right? That's how do you deal with that?
I mean, we could get really dark here.
No, we don't have to. This is Groundhog Day. I didn't pluralize it that
thank
time.
Thank you. I mean, it's a, you know, there's a mental health crisis in this country right now. I live it every day. It's well documented. Yeah. You know, that's not anything that we really is in our scope to get into. But, you know, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard for kids right now. I worry about that a lot. Yeah. I worry about our son. The fact that he really hasn't been a lot of places.
Yeah. We have relatives that still haven't seen him.
Well.
You know.
Some of that's on them, too. But
no. Some of them was just, they just wanted to keep, you know, they just being concerned.
Well, anyways. But, you know, It's very hard. It's very challenging.
Yeah.
It's very challenging. And I mean, you know, I think that long-term stress and strain like that, you know, drives anybody to difficulty.
Yeah.
And, I have a patient who recently came back to therapy who said to me like, well, who am I? I'm just one of the 7 billion people. I'm like, yeah, but every one of those 7 billion people has been affected.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's all in the way that we handle it. And that's life in general, right? Yeah. So I think if we're taking it back to Groundhog Day, you know, he had his period where he really couldn't handle it.
Yeah.
Where he just like came up against the wall and was just done. And then was able
and
to push through it.
Feel that. Like they totally, like they did a good job. Ramis and the cast and the writers, I think they did a really good job of making you feel that. It didn't feel like it was sort of glossed over. Or, you know what I mean, incidental in any way, even though it's a comedy. I think they really wanted to make you feel for him and see the torment he was going through and how that would spark his change. You know, where he kind of wakes up and was like, oh, my God, I can't keep doing this. You know, I can't just keep trying to kill myself. I can't just keep trying to, you know, do nothing here. And just because it will never end. If I do, you know what I mean? Have to make some changes.
Well, was it that or was it just, you know, I kind of got to make the best of this?
Yeah, make the best of it. I feel like during that part, he hit that rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He hit that rock bottom. It's like, all right, it's now time to.
But I would think like as a therapist or as a person who's worked in mental health, like you've got to want the change, right? And however.
But he did and he reached out.
Exactly. And I don't know, you know, I don't know how much I believe in rock bottom, but everybody's got to get to a point where the need to change is greater than staying safe, right? Than staying where you are.
Yeah.
So it's like the caterpillar, right? Into the butterfly.
Yes.
You know. The cocoon eventually gets too tight. So what do you got to do? You got to take a chance and spread your wings and go.
Selfish little cocoon.
Oh, be quiet about the very. Our son is currently obsessed with the very hungry caterpillar. So I could probably recite the entire book to you all. I've read it at least 5 times a night for the last 6 months.
Yes, you have.
Oh, he's so obsessed.
He is obsessed. He loves just turning the pages really fast.
Yep. And he loves it. He loves everything about it. So. Yep. You know, but it is the, you know, that's the same thing.
Yep.
It's the same thing.
Phil is our little caterpillar, and he ate too much, a lot of those pastries, and he got into his little cocoon. He came out a butterfly at the end.
And he came out better for it.
Yes, he did.
And good for Phil.
Good for Phil. Good for Phil. I like it. There you go. That was good. That was fun. I love that movie. What would you rate it? Five mics. What do you give it?
4.
You have 4?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go a little higher. I'm going to go 4.5. It's a pretty solid movie for me. I don't really have any.
I don't like halves.
Oh, sorry. I like the halves. I don't mind the halves. I live in that world. That's cool. It's quite all right. I'm going to go 4.5 mics. It's not perfect, but for what it is, it's darn close for me. You know, there isn't really much. You know what we didn't talk about, and this is completely incidental. This is my other half, I'm not giving it. There's a couple of times, and this is on me because I do this constantly. Again, going back to the fact that I watch movies and stuff too much. So I analyze things too much. But there's certain times, like when he, the first time he rushes out of the bed and breakfast, he rushes out really fast, yet still meets up with Ned.
Oh, yes,
the timing wouldn't work, right? Because he doesn't have the long conversation with the guy in the hallway. He doesn't have a long conversation with the proprietor, who's Mrs. Lancaster, right? Played by Angela Patton. He doesn't have these conversations with her, yet the lady he talks to, who says, you know, where are you going? And she goes, I'm going to Groundhog. She's already ahead of him. When he sees her, she should be way behind, because he meets her after he normally has all these long conversations. He meets her at the exact same time, right out in front of the bread and breakfast. So if he gets out of there faster, he should get there ahead of her, but she's ahead of him for that time. And the same thing with Ned. He still meets up with Ned at the exact same time,
in
the exact same spot. It'd be different if you met him at a different spot, because that's where Ned, you know what I'm saying? Further down the road or whatever. So the timing doesn't work on that one, and it's just played for the portion of what they needed, because he's still, that's the time when he punches Ned out, I think.
Yes. And then we don't see Ned again until the end, when his bottle isn't literally all his insurance.
Yeah. I saw the if you ever get, if you watch the movie and you get it like on Apple or the DVD, I'm sure it has all the outtakes and the little documentaries, they do a whole stuff with Stephen Tobolowsky and how he sort of just really leaned into that character. Like, they kind of gave him a rough idea of how they wanted. He really, with all the noises and the little mannerisms and the thing, he really brought that to, that was mostly him. And they did that on purpose. They knew him. He's been around for a very long time. And they knew what kind of, you know, how good he was at that stuff and his comedic timing. So they brought that to him, and he really just leaned in and made that character his own. You know, I don't think anybody else could have played Ned. That was one of my favorite.
He's
one of
really my well,
favorite and most annoying characters in the whole
movie. Oh, yeah, but that's what Stephen Tobolowsky is so great at.
And he's meant to be. Obviously, yeah, he's meant to be that in the movie. So good job on him. So, all right, there you have it. There's our review on Groundhog Day.
One hog.
So any final words on Groundhog Day?
No, I think it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
I think it's a nice little vacation.
It's one of those movies, like, I could watch every Groundhog Day.
Oh, yeah.
You
for know, sure.
There's certain movies you do that, right? Obviously, Christmas movies, we talked about that. But even on Thanksgiving, I like to watch Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Right? It's a Thanksgiving-based movie. I like watching that movie.
I've never watched that the whole way through.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Come on. You know that. That's a fact that you know.
I know. It is a fact. It hurts my heart every time. So this is definitely a one I could watch every February 2nd. And if you like, when we're done, we can watch it again.
We may need to.
We do have to watch episode 6 of The Mandalorian. I mean, Boba Fett, excuse me.
Same difference.
The Book of Mandalorian. Yes, absolutely. So, all right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Amy. As always,
it's a pleasure. As always,
I hope you guys enjoyed our episode tonight. And please find us online at entertainmentrants.com. Feel free to drop us a line at engage@entertainmentrants.com. Let us know if there's something you'd like us to chat about, rant about. Check us out on our social media as well, at Entertainment Rants, and on Twitter, Entertain Rants. Feel free to leave us a review as well on Apple Podcasts. We greatly appreciate it, and we will read it on the podcast. All right, everybody, have a good night. Once again, thank you, Amy.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody. What's our new hashtag? Let's rant.